Are you sure?
Here's the 30-second lesson on what legends know. Never ask a bride why she's getting married. Don't wear a skirt on a windy day. Deodorant is not a shower. Don't sniff chili flakes. And don't forget, saving is not investing. Legends don't just save, they invest in mutual funds. Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
As I promised you yesterday, when we got distracted by a series of terror attacks in Pakistan, including one on Chinese engineers, I was going to talk about the latest ILO, International Labour Organization report on the employment situation in India. I am with it with you today because this is a very significant one. You know what? Increasingly now, data is very difficult to find, particularly since Modi government also controlled many sources of data and also decided to change many things, change the methodology of how data will be collected and disseminated. So a lot of the usual data sources are not available, particularly because the 2021 census has not taken place. In this situation, when data comes in, it's like gold. I know that the old saying is that data is the new oil. But when you get data like this, data on India's economy or India's demographics, That is gold. It isn't even oil. It's a lot more valuable than gold. So this is what this report does. This is a report that's jointly produced by ILO, that is International Labour Organization, and Institute of Human Development, jointly signed by Michiko Miyamoto, who's the country head of ILO in India, and also Professor Alok Sharma, who's professor and director of Institute of Human Development. Again, it is not one of those reports where you would expect Government of India to say, oh, this is some NGO or this is some organization with a loaded agenda. This is a UN body, and also at the release of the report, present also was the chief economic advisor to the finance minister. That is V. Anantha Nageswaran. And he also said some interesting things which I really like. He said, for example, he talked about the limitations that a government has when it comes to creating jobs. And in fact, he made a reference to Chor Ramaswamy's famous film and play on Muhammad bin Tughlaq. Where Tughlaq, the satirical character there, is actually making a speech saying, I have to do something about the unemployment situation. All I will do is, I will keep on talking about in every speech, I will keep on talking about the need to do something about the unemployment situation. That's because he says that the state, the government has limitations when it comes to providing employment unless the government hires people by itself. He also says something very interesting in that interaction. He says he also questioned whether governments worldwide were reducing the incentive to work through welfare policies intended to ameliorate the negative consequences of unemployment. That means they were creating a disincentive on young people seeking employment. And he says, and I quote from him, in every public policy intervention, there is always the law of unintended consequences. In general, humans change their lifestyle and habits only when doctors read the riot act. That's like your sugar's gone up, so cut down on overeating, or your liver counts are bad, so cut down on drinking. So people change their, or maybe something's wrong with your heart, so start going for walks, reduce your weight. So he says that individuals only change their lifestyles once doctors read them the riot act on behalf of the human body. And he says, does it not apply to our youth and others in respect of their willingness to work or efforts to equip themselves with skills and attitude towards work? Now, that's a very important line. I know that the Congress party has taken umbrage at this statement and they've said, oh, this is a big admission that this government can't provide employment. The fact is, no government can provide employment beyond a point. Governments, however, what they can do is they can create environment for the economies to grow, so new jobs are created. That said, look at the larger picture. I will do it a little bit differently from how we do cut the clutter. I will try and tell you the story in terms of a bunch of graphics first. And then maybe, if we still have some time, I will look at some discussion. First of all, look at graphic number one. Graphic number one tells us that the share of self-employed persons in India's labor force has increased post-COVID-19. What is that telling us? What is self-employed? Self-employed is an Aatmanirbhar individual, a person who works for himself or herself. Now, you might say that's a great idea. Why should anybody be looking for a job? People should be self-employed. But in real life, it doesn't necessarily work to the individual's benefit. If you look at the data available to us, this tells us that most Indians are self-employed. See this graphic. That number has gone up. That number was 52.5% in 2000. 2000 is the Bajpayee era in 2000. In 2012, they said this was still about the same, 52.2. By 2019, it was still the same, 52. So the number of self-employed people has remained about the same until 2019. That is the pre-pandemic year. And it's been constant in the previous 20 years, two decades. In 2022, that is after the economy is opened up, after the pandemic, we would have thought that there will be a boom in jobs because economic growth came back after a year of negative growth. Next year had big growth, and then last 2 years, India has been the fastest growing last large economy in the world. But the jobs, formal jobs, haven't come back. This tells you that the percentage of self-employed for the first time has crossed the 52% mark in 20 plus years, nearly 25 years. So now it is 55.8% in 2022. That many people are fending for themselves. Again, if you look at people in regular employment, people in regular employment also, the number is percentage has gone down between 2019, that is the pre-pandemic year, and 2022, after the pandemic-related stress from the economy has lifted. It was 23.8% in 2019. In 2022, it was 21.5%. Now, what happens when people are self-employed? Self-employed, first of all, their income is very low compared to regular jobs. How low it is, I will tell you as we go along with another graphic. Now, 55% people at this point, 55.8%, in fact, 56% self-employed in 2022, 21.7% regular or salaried employees. This is out of the people who are employed. We are not talking of those who are unemployed. 21.7%, I told you, regular and salaried jobs, and 22.7% casual labor. You can see that on this graphic. That's our graphic number one. Now, what does wages mean, and have wages risen over time? That is something that we'll discuss as we go along, looking at some other graphic and some other data, which brings us to graphic number two. Graphic number two tells us that most Indians work in agriculture. They work in agriculture and reap low output. That is also the heading of our graphic. So what happened? In 2000, 27% of India's GDP came from agriculture, 27%. But 62% of India's labor force was involved in agriculture. So 62% in agriculture. Your graphic heading would say primary sector. Primary sector means agriculture, fisheries. It means basic livestock rearing, not dairying industry, basic livestock rearing, etc., etc. A little bit of quarrying, etc. That is sand industry, minor minerals that people do alongside agriculture. So this is really primary sector, is really farming. In the year 2000, 62% of our labor force was involved in farming, and that produced 27% of the GDP, a little more than 1/4 of the GDP. But India has had a boom since then. Economy has grown, and while agriculture has grown, the rest has grown much faster. And what is the rest? The rest is secondary sector and tertiary sector. What is secondary sector and tertiary sector? I will just explain to you. Secondary sector is industries, manufacturing, petroleum, gas, energy, electricity production, distribution, construction. All of that is secondary sector, which is basically the industrial and manufacturing sector. Tertiary sector then is services, trade, transportation, tourism, finance, banking, all of that. So those sectors have grown. Agriculture has also grown, but the other two have grown more than agriculture. That's why the share of agriculture in the GDP has come down. It's not because agriculture is degrown. Please don't make that mistake. A lot of the activists like to use that as a rhetorical point, but that is not correct. Because other sectors have grown from 27% in 2000, agriculture's share in the national economy or the GDP has been declining. So 27% in 2000 year, 2012, 19%. So you can see the decline. 2019, 15%. 2022, it's marginally gone up, 15.8% or something. Let's just say 16%. That could also be because some of the other sectors have not grown that much. That's very important. So when we see this economic growth post-2019, we have to keep this in mind as well. That for the first time in almost 25 years, as a percentage, agriculture's contribution to national economy has grown, although marginally, but that is counterintuitive. See, at the same time, the number of people, the percentage of our labor force employed in agriculture, 62% in the year 2000, declining, 49% in the year 2012, 42% in 2019. So in 2019, 42% of our labor force was involved in agriculture, but they only produced 15% of India's GDP. So you can see that their earnings were very small. That's why the priority has been to pull more people out of agriculture, more of our able-bodied working force out of agriculture into better paying areas. Better paying areas are the secondary sector and the tertiary sector. Again, counterintuitively, what's happened between 2019 and 22 is that the percentage of our labor force involved in agriculture has gone up for the first time since post-reform. And this is not insignificant, from 42% in 2019 to 45% in 2022. This question will come up later when we come to underemployment and unemployment. More importantly, unemployment, because unemployment data will also tell you that unemployment had risen earlier slowly, but it had declined after the pandemic, not during the pandemic year. It declined after the pandemic, but probably or most likely, the report says, because more jobs were created in agriculture sector, because a lot of the migratory laborers from cities had gone back to their villages or their hometowns or their native places and were involved in farming activity on whatever land they had or as agricultural laborers. So that is a significant shift. If you look at the other two sectors, secondary sectors, which is industry and manufacturing, again, you can see a similar trend continuing. In 2000, 16% were involved in industry and manufacturing and produced 29% of the GDP. In 2019, over a 20-year period, 2019, 35% were involved in industry and manufacturing. That means that many more had found jobs in better paying areas. They produced 31% of GDP. And there's a little twist there. That's because services had grown much faster than even manufacturing and industries. In 2022, on the other hand, this percentage again declined. This had been rising. That is the percentage of the workforce in industry and manufacturing. So in 2022, despite all the emphasis on manufacturing, this percentage actually declined to 25% from 36% in 2019. Please see this part of the graphic. And this 25% still produced 31% of the GDP. And then you see the tertiary sector, which is mainly services, banking, finance, tourism, travel, etc., transportation. And that is what again tells you a story. 23% of India's workforce was employed in services in the year 2000 and produced 44% of the GDP. Then it kept on rising. It kept on rising on both sides. The percentage of labor force involved in tertiary sector or services kept on rising from 23 in 2000 to 27 in 2012 to 32 in 2019. And so did the share of services, 44 in 2000 to 49 in 2012 to
54 in 2019, and then what happens in 2022? In 2022, the share of the workforce or labor force in services declines a little bit to 30%, but still they are producing 53% of India's GDP. What is the larger lesson? The larger lesson is that when more people shift to agriculture, people earn less. When people shift from agriculture, that is primary sector, to secondary sector or tertiary sector, their wages go up. We'll come to the question of real wages as we go along in just a little while. Which brings us to our next graphic. Graphic number three, that is headlined, underemployment in India is much higher than its low unemployment rates. Now, India has low unemployment rates, very low unemployment rates. In fact, if you see carefully, by 2019, it's only about 5.9%. For the first time in many years, it's gone above 5%. Otherwise, unemployment in India has remained below 5%. In 2019, beginning of Modi 2 or NDA 2, it has risen to 5.8%. However, the important part is that post-pandemic, forget the pandemic year, post-pandemic, this has fallen. This has fallen, but ILO says in its report that while it's fallen, it has maybe not fallen for the right reasons, which means jobs have been created, but jobs have not been created in the more productive areas or the more paying areas. That means a lot of the people have gone back to their villages and are working on the farm, and that is showing as employment. In fact, ILO says, they sound a note of caution, that in a largely poor and hugely populated country like India, just pure unemployment may not be the light metric. That's because very few people can afford to remain unemployed. So they start doing something or the other. And that's where underemployment becomes a bigger factor. How do we define underemployment? Once again, check out ILO. Underemployment means those that are willing to work or those that are available to work are, one, willing to work extra hours than what they are working now. So they might be wanting to work 10 hours a day, but right now only have worked for 6 hours a day or 5 hours a day, are willing to work extra hours or available to work extra hours or working below a threshold. So this is not a question of Mr. Narayan Murthy's 70-hour week. It's not like that. It is like somebody might be looking for work, will get some work. You fetch this, you carry this, you deliver this, etc. Maybe gets work for 2 hours, 3 hours, but the person can work for 9 hours a day or 10 hours a day. That is underemployment. That number, this data tells you, has gone up in 2000. The data is dodgy. By 2012, the percentage of underemployed has gone up. 2019, 2022 again, underemployment in India is much higher than India's low unemployment rates. In fact, if you look at people, a lot of the people working on India's farms, many of them would be described as underemployed, because are so many of them really needed on those farms, given the size of our land holdings and our productivity? That also becomes a question. Which brings us to the next graphic. The next graphic is only half of India's working age population really works. And that is an important bit of analysis from ILO. They tell us that the labor force participation rates in India are below the global labor force participation rates. What is LFPR or labor force participation rate? That is the proportion of working age people in 18 to 59, age groups 18 to 59, who are either working or seeking work. So that is below international average, below world average, which is surprising, which probably means that a lot of the people don't even go out looking for work. And once again, if you see youth labor force participation, youth means in the age group of 15 to 29, that also remains low. So in fact, youth labor force participation remains below 50%, and the others are in the 55% ballpark. Again, not a good sign. That also means either a lot of opportunities are not available, or as our chief economic advisor says, that some of the other programs, particularly welfare, now free food grain, for example, that is creating a disincentive situation for many people from skilling themselves and looking for better jobs and better paying jobs. Now, before we go into some discussion, two more graphics. And these graphics, the graphics you've seen so far, have been drawn by my former colleague Nikhil Rampal, who's now studying for his MBA
in Europe. And I sent the ILO report to him last night. And these are his graphics. And you will also see a story by him, I think tomorrow, that he will weave around these graphics. But two more graphics that I have picked from the ILO reports. The first one tells you, very interestingly, overall employment condition index state-wise in India. So if you look at the colors, green is good, right? Green is good. Blue is a little bit less good. And then as colors change, you can figure out how states are doing. And the next table, you have the graphic. In fact, I can put, I will ask the producer to put this side by side. You see the graphic that is color coded and you see the table. When you see the table, table gives you the ranking. So Delhi scores the highest on employment opportunities, employment conditions. Himachal Pradesh is number two of the major states. Himachal Pradesh, very well done. And ILO estimates that's because in these states, Delhi, Himachal Pradesh, Uttarakhand is number three, Jammu and Kashmir is number four, that in these states, women's employment is getting better. And that is what is leading to better rankings. And then there is Telangana, Rajasthan, Gujarat, Haryana, Tamil Nadu, Maharashtra, and laggards. You can well imagine who the laggards are. There's Odisha at the bottom, Bihar just above it. Kerala not doing well at all. Third worst from the bottom, then Assam, then Uttar Pradesh, Jharkhand, usual suspects, and so on and so forth. Now, one big highlight from all this is that the real wages in regular salaries have actually fallen by 10% compared to what they were about 10 years ago, between 2012 and 2022. So the wages in real salaries, the average wages in real salaries for the employed people, these are the elite among the employed demographics of India. We told you there is salaried people, there is self-employed people, and then there is casual labor. That averages 19,000 rupees, 19,010 rupees, according to this report. This amounts to rupees 10,925 at 2012 price levels. In fact, if you then compare it with what the average wages were, average salaries were in 2012, this is 10% lower than 2012. That means an average wage earning salaried paid member of the Indian employment elites, employed elites, is earning on an average 10% less than they were in 2012. Casual labor, in fact, surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, is the only category where real wages have risen, not by little, but by 27%, yet they remain very low. In 2012, constant prices now, they were 3,701 rupees. Now there is 4,712. So what are the highlights? The highlights are, one, that unemployment in India, the rate remains low, but there's a lot of people who are underemployed. Number two, that a lot of people are working on India's farms who are not needed there. And those who are working on the farms are getting paid too little, they are earning too little. Because at this point, as of 2022, 45% of India's labor force, 45% is only producing 16%. In fact, 15.8% of India's GDP. That tells you they are earning too little. Whereas those in services are doing the tops, those in manufacturing are also doing more than twice as well. That is the other high point. The next one is that the real wages in India on an average have fallen for all categories, including salaried people, compared to 2012, except for one category, that is casual labor. Why has casual labor gone up? Maybe it's also part of the Manrega effect. But the fact is that the casual labor is the only category where wages have gone up. And again, the data tells you, this report tells you, that some of the setbacks and some of the slowing down in the employment situation had come in 2019 before pandemic came. And the recovery after the pandemic, it has created more jobs, but more jobs have been created not in the right areas, not in manufacturing, almost very little in manufacturing, and also very little in services in comparison to agriculture. So too many people have gone back to the primary economy. Once again, this report tells us that between 2012 and 2019, India had almost a jobless growth. Indian economy grew well, but very few new jobs were created. After that, jobs have been created. post the pandemic, but those jobs have come more in the agriculture sector. So a lot more needs to be done in services, which is the driving force or the driving engine or the leading engine of India's economy, and manufacturing, where there is a lot of emphasis right now. So maybe we will see results going ahead. Now, the question will be, before I let you go, how did they arrive at these figures? From where did they get these figures? Because not all these figures are flattering to the country or flattering to the government. So from where did these figures come? Now, these figures, ILO has very safely relied on Government of India's own data. So for figures between 2000 and 2012, they've taken their data from quinquennial. Quinquennial means once in 5 years. That once in 5 years survey on employment in national sample survey round. So that is Government of India data. Between for the period between 2018 and 2022, they have picked up the data from PLFS or Periodic Labour Force Surveys of Government of India. So all of this is based on government data.